And keeping in mind what we did last time on being a son, sons need to be sons in the Son. And that is our assignment. So as the body of believers like this comes together, then we are to represent the Son as sons. So that, how do we do that? We do that in our prayer, praying without ceasing, without interruption, a relationship. So just adding to that, or taking that a little different way, in Exodus chapter 4, keeping in mind, if you would, God the Father sent God the Son to be front and center so that we could understand in the light of all of forever, in the light of time, his wonderful person. And God has exposed himself, shown himself, in the person of Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is the, also, remember, he's the Creator. And so everything in all of time and all of history, human and biblical, in all of that, the Creator is going to demonstrate the reason for his creation. God has made the Creator awesome, as we've shared many times. God's creations are awesome. From the life that lives in the water and the ocean, the life that lives in the air, on land, bugs, birds, bees, the beauty, the intricacy, the complexity, the profoundness of it all. It's awesome. And God made us. And all of that creation is to demonstrate God's wonderful person. God then created us, and we are very, very special. When you think of the animal world, the vegetable, mineral, when you think of birds, bees, and beasts, we have a little better appreciation for God, hopefully, and for our relationship to him. Now, having said that and reminding, we have a very special one. Here in Exodus chapter 4, Israel had a very special relationship to God. And God gave that relationship. And as Moses is going to be going to the people of Israel, God reminds him of his assignment. And in Exodus chapter 4, picking up, please, the thought in verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand, and I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go. What for? In order that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So Pharaoh is going to have to pay attention to God. Ultimately, he will. It'll cost him his firstborn, but he is going to pay attention. Now, what about Israel? Israel, are you to understand that you are a prized, like Exodus 19? Well, you're right next door. Why not go there? Exodus chapter 19. And picking up, if I can, in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I have bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, personal, prized, precious treasure unto me, above all people. Why? for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Israel was to have a very, very special relationship to God, above all people of the earth. Over, if you very special. And to tie that together a little better, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, keeping in mind this relationship is very special. And how come it would be much more special? Chapter 20, verse 22, directly, in the light of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you, that's in the plural, not just to Moses, that I have talked with you from heaven. Here's a whole nation that listened to God. Just think now in your imagination, if we were all quiet and God spoke, wouldn't that be something? God spoke. All the people heard God. What a privilege. They were to be sons, and they were to know him in a very special way. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would again to that which you are familiar with, obviously, the Gospel of John, and in the Gospel of John, you remember now, in verse 14, the Word, verse 1, the Word was with God, the Word was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, being God, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, God and we, that person that was revealed, what are we going to do with him? Verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege, the right and the might, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So they were given, the believers, were given the right to receive God in the flesh, God's Son, and they were going to receive him in such a way, such a relationship. Israel is one thing, the church is another. Now, they were to receive him, and they were to become, had the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Children, and they were to believe. And you will note, please, in the process of their believing, in the process, they're going to go and do so. And it is in the middle voice, which means, just keeping in mind that, if you would, if you said the active voice, you produce the action. If you said the passive voice, you receive the action. If you say the middle voice, you participate in the action. So God, what are you saying? When you're going to believe and you're going to receive and you're going to have a relationship to me, I'm going to make you a son, and you are going to practice and enjoy being a son. I'm going to make you a son, and you're going to enjoy being the son that I make you. You're going to participate in the procedure, in the relationship, very personal. Now, hang on to that, as we did before. Now, so therefore, we are able to say, I am a child of God. I am a child. I am being a, not I am, not just I am a child of God. I am being a child of God. And in the process of my being a child of God, I'm going to go and be a wonderful, wonderful representative of him. And now Israel had a privilege they didn't take. They will, in the coming up after the tribulation, they're going to do it. but not yet. Over, if you would, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Again, we're doing familiar things in order to latch on to what we're after. We want to be able to have power. We want to be able to have a praying with power. And thus, Acts chapter 1, you are familiar, God is going to send forth the believers, and the believers are going to go and represent him. And as you in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive, what are you going to receive? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's good. And you receive grace unto grace, John 1, 16. Now here, what are we doing? Well, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to receive the Spirit of God, we're going to receive power. Now, what does that translate into? Verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses, my witnesses, witnesses that belong to me. I own you, you represent me, you're very personal, you're very precious, you're my personal property for my personal end. I want you to have and be my witness. You're mine. What did you read in Exodus 19? You're mine. Everyone else is there, but you're mine. In the church, what are we doing? Everyone's there, but you're mine. You're mine. Very special, very special. And witnesses both to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And that witness is to be carried out I'm just turning the page, Acts chapter 2, picking up, you'll pick it right directly, verse 32, 2 and 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, and we did this recently, so you know all that, but they're witnesses. What are they doing? Their one assignment is to bear record and witness. That's what their assignment is. Now, the witness. Now, so that's what they're going to do. They belong to the Lord. They're his witnesses. And they've received, and they become his children. Over, if you would, to chapter 4. And when the assembly is meeting together, among other things, what is it doing? Well, it's having the wonderful, wonderful witness. You'll be my witnesses. You're going to receive power, Acts 1:8. So what are we going to do with the power? What's the power for? To be his witnesses. Well, how are we going to witness to him? Verse 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So God in the process, they had, were given power, and the power was to represent him, represent his resurrected life, and we've said 5,000 times. The only sign that he's doing in the world today is the sign of the prophet Jonah. It's his Easter coming up. The sign of the prophet Jonah, the resurrection of our Lord. How about wording? No words? No words from God? Nope. I gave you my word. And at Revelation 22, when I closed it, no more. What are you going to say? I have a bunch of people, whosoever's, that believe, they're going to have a very special relationship to me, and their special relationship is going to demonstrate who I am. They're going to believe in their heart, that God raised him from the dead. They're going to understand that Christ died, he took him to the cross, buried, and they rose again. He gives us his life. What is the testimony of the church? It is to bear record and witness to who he is, his resurrected life. He has risen again. That's our whole purpose of the church everywhere. It's all our churches, but his church is to represent his person in a very special way as children, as sons. Wonderful, wonderful thing to become, to participate. As children, as sons. Now, so in the light of that, we have this unique oneness that we share with God, we share because of God. And over, if you would, in just to tie it together a little, Romans chapter 8, And in Romans chapter 8, reminding us, as we shared last time, that God does a wonderful thing when you receive the Lord as your Savior, and we are to be participants in our relationship. And in Romans chapter 8, we are reminded, in the light of everything, we are reminded of what? In verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So God, dealing with the heart and mind and of the believer, that God's going to deal with us as sons, different word than child. It means full. You'll pick it up. Let me read the next verse. For you have not received, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Acts 1:8, you receive power. We're receivers. We're taking in all the time, taking in grace for grace. We're receivers. We want to be a sponge, soaking it in. God, you bring it into us. That's right. That's right. To fill your heart, fill your mind. Now, for as many you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, we don't have that. On the contrary. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember, adoption is the word son, a full-orbited son, and to be placed as a son. So you take the verb and the noun, to be placed as a full son. Immediately. Not only are we children, being born again children, little children. In the same moment, that little child is made with all the advantage, having all the advantages of a full son. What's that? God's son. To have all of the access, all of the fullness, all of the freshness, fruitfulness of the son is yours if you're a believer. The minute you're saved, you don't wait 5 minutes. You don't wait 2 minutes. You have it. And to illustrate it, as we did last time, in verse 15, whereby we're able to cry, Abba, that's the Hebrew, Father, Abba, Father, Hebrew, Greek, Abba, Father. We're able to say it. Our Lord said it in the garden. We have in Galatians 4, where we did, the Spirit of God is saying, present tense, He's saying it over and over and over again to you. And you, verse 8, Romans 8 and verse 15, are crying the same thing. We're echoing, Father, 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 my Father, Father. So our relationship is constantly being vouched for. It's being the voucher, the one who authenticates, the one who, the person, he authenticates, he puts in writing, he writes it, he vouches. He's vouching for you. He certifies you. You don't certify yourself as being a son. You and I don't have the tenacity to stand up and say that in and of ourselves from a full heart. No one does that, except the believer is able to do it because God is doing something, did, and is doing something wonderful. He's letting us be reminded that we legally and rightly, in the light of heaven, in the light of earth, in the light of time, in the light of eternity, we are sons. And he said so. Wow. Now, so keeping that in mind, if you would, over in John, Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17, remember now when our Lord, before he goes out to the cross, And here is the Lord's Prayer, literally, not "Our Father who art in heaven." That's the disciples' prayer. And here in John 17, if I can, picking up the thought, if I may, in God sends us into the world as unique, wonderful, wonderful persons. We're children, we're sons, we're authorized to be certified to be sons. And we aren't a son because we feel it or something. We're a son because God said so. We're a son. We'll pick it up in a minute. And thus, in the process, as we are sons, verse 18, God, what are you doing? Lord, and just as thou hast sent me, Father, into the world, so have I also sent them into the world. So we are sent as he is sent into the world. So whatever he does, well, however he is, we are. Now, that's true. He's the Son. He's the Son. A Son. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God. And they were to believe. And they did or did not. It's up to them. But as he is the Son sent into the world, the Word become flesh. God, here we are. What are we doing? Well, we're sent into the world. And how are we sent? What are we doing here? Because we're sons. If you would understand that. You have the right to be that. And you want to exercise that as sons. What are we doing? We're representing the Son, who represents the Father. So how are we going to represent the Father? By representing the Son, whose assignment is to represent the Father. As you've seen me, he said, so have you seen my Father. Now, keep that in mind. As my Father sent me, so send I you. And how did he do so? And we know all this. So God, what are you doing? Well, he sent, and how did he represent the Father? By his words, by his works, by his will, by his ways. So whenever you saw the Son, see the Son, hear the Son, what do you know? You're going to understand the Father. He's a son of the Father. He's the Son of God. So when you see the Son, you'll know where he came from the Father. He's the Father of the, he's the Son of the Father. So over to John 14, where you're still here in John. John chapter 14. And picking up, if I may, just to refresh our memory always, chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, remember Jesus said, you know that I am the way, the truth, and the life, verse 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what the purpose of our Lord is to get us to the Father. So, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be happy. Verse 9, be sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto them, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father, when I have shown you the Father? I show you the Father in words, works, will, ways. I've shown you the Father. And therefore, God, here we are now, putting it for us. As you did that, Lord, and as the Father sent you, so send you, you're sending us to be your witnesses. And we're going to show, what are we going to show? We're going to show that we're a son. How on earth do we show that we're a son? Well, the same as he did. Because the Son is going to show the Father. That's the purpose of the Son, to show the Father. Believers are to show the Lord who shows the Father. So, God, what did you do? Well, words, works, will, ways, that's right. So now here we are, believers, and what is our assignment? What are we going to do? We're going to have your words. We have your works. We have your will. That's what we have. And God, we have all of that. Where did ever we get it? We got it in your Son, who we received as your as our Savior and Lord. We received him. We became his witnesses. We became his witnesses, and in the process, we received power. Power, life. So what? For what purpose? So that we can reflect and represent God. How so? Words, works, will. What are we doing? Power, ways. God, here we are. What are we doing? We're looking to represent. We don't represent Susie in the hospital right now. We don't represent something else somewhere else. We represent him. And that's what we're doing. And angels, good and bad, watching, coming and going. I have no idea where they are, when they are. You know, I never entertain an angel unaware. And, you know, I wonder if you'll recognize when God does that. And God does do that, you know. He has done it, well. But we didn't you have to recognize it. Not after the, usually after the fact. Usually after the fact. Now, so here. Here we're looking at God, God's wonderful grace to us, and we are to be sons, and we're to show that. Now, so over to Philippians. All the epistles are going to do what? They're going to go and tell us the same thing. What we are to understand as the local body of believers, we are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a very unique way. And therefore, when we do so, you're going to have all kinds of statements. And it isn't about anything. It's about your relationship to God and exercising it. How so? Because you are a child of God, a son of God. You have every right in all of forever to exercise it. You don't need to go and beg and wait 10 years and hope someday you'll qualify. You qualified the moment you did what? You received him as your Savior. Only most of the time, our whole flesh system, religious system, church, we never do it because no one else does it. So we don't do it. So if back over to Philippians. Excuse me. And Philippians chapter 1. And going, if I can, I could and say it to you. But verse 21 directly. For me, what are you going to say, Paul? For me to live, what is it to live, Paul? You're a Roman citizen, you're a Pharisee, you're a believer, you're an apostle. What is it for you to live? What are your credentials? I determined to know nothing among you except what? Philippians, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Except Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. That's all. But, no. And for me to live, verse 21, is Christ, and to die is gain, great advantage. So God, for me to live is Christ. That's right. So God, that's what you're doing, Paul. Well, you wouldn't have enjoyed the pizza shop then, would you? Uh-huh, I would. Would you enjoy going to have pizza and just general living? Uh-huh, I would. Over to Galatians, going back. In Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, again, all of these, all I'm doing is putting back in your memory what ought to be there. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by or in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have a unique relationship to God as a son, as a child. I receive power to witness. God has given me a wonderful relationship, and I have to exercise it. Well, where does it start? It starts being a son, a child. I got to be his in a special way. And if I don't have that, I'm walking around, I'm a Christian. Well, that's wonderful. What does that mean? Not much to people. It means a Christian. Are you a Methodist Christian? Are you a Catholic Christian? Are you a Greek Orthodox Christian? What kind of Christian are you? You see. Are you a church-going Christian, a non-church-going Christian? Are you a fundamental Christian or a liberal Christian? What kind of Christian are you? No, see. But I'm a son. I'm a son. Ah, that's different. Now, having said that, and over to Colossians. What are we doing? We just said, well, what did Paul do? Paul, you must have said it, and he did. You remember, hang on, you're going to Colossians. And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, I, God, whether I eat, whether I drink, or whatever I do it how? To the glory of God. That's what I do. So you mean you can go to the pizza shop? Uh-huh. You go to a pizza shop? Have a soda, pizza, hamburger? Yep. Go to work, home, school? That's what I do. I'm a citizen of these United States or whatever, and I do whatever. Uh-huh. That's what I do. And I want you to know I'm a son. I'm a son. Do you know, and you know it a bit more than I do, except a little bit, that I know. And I know there are people, I've met them even, that have come from out of the country, and they are attending school, college, here in the United States. And they are, and they go to the same class people do, and regular people go in our country. But you know, but when they go, and they go to the same class, they do everything, but you know what? They belong somewhere else. They belong somewhere else. You belong somewhere else. You belong somewhere else. You're here. But God has changed the whole thing for you. You're still here going to the same class with all the same students, but you're different. You're different now. You're an alien. Or you are a pilgrim and a stranger. You are. Now, hang on to that. That's a wonderful thing. And thus in Colossians, God, how does it show up? Well, not only to the glory of God, but here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 directly. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever you do, well, what kind of work do you do? What kind of school do you go to? What kind of classes do you take? Whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, word, deed, words, what are we doing? We speak. We're sons. We're sons. And it helps. It flavors us. It tones us down. It watches what we say, what we do, how we do it. No question. We're sons. And we're strangers. And they're looking at us. Now, unless you try to identify and hide among them, like, you know, so you don't want to, I don't want anyone to know I'm a believer. I am a believer. I dress like one. I want to look like one. I want to act like one. That's what I want to do. And someone, they can worry about everything and wonder about everything, but I don't. I'm sorry. You know, I could take a class in philosophy or something. And so I did take them. I know, remember? And I remember I'd taken one at UCLA, you know, psychology, you know, and be able to do that. And like people going in a dark room, trying to figure out what's there. There's no light and they can't see, you know, and they're trying to analyze. Can't see, dark room, can't see anything, and they're going to analyze psychologically. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, I don't know whether I passed that or not, but anyway. But anyway, Colossians, whatever, over while you're looking there, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily, do it heartily. That means with your out of a heart, out of the whole heart, out of your whole heart, you're going to do it heartily with a wholeheartedness. That means, you know, God said, Deuteronomy 6, etc., Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. Such fulfills the law. So God, what are you asking of us? To honor you with all our heart, wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. You want to be wholehearted in it. So you want all of you in it, not just part of you. In other words, I'm going to give a piece of you, God, to pay attention when something comes up in church or whatever it is. And then I'm going to take the rest of me and do what I do. Whole. No. You don't do that when you're, if you're a sports fan or something, and you have to figure something you're into excitingly, and you're a sports fan and your team is just about to win and it wins. Don't you? Did you ever sit them? Yes. Did you ever watch them? Watch them. They're all there. Remember? They're calm, sitting down. Oh, yes. He just shot a basket from 500 yards. Wow. I got to tell you. I mean, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. We won the game last minute. Last minute. Oh, wasn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's for supper? Is that what you do? You're wholehearted. That's how you live each moment. Your whole heart. I'm involved. I'm involved in what I do, all of me. Whatever I do, here, there, Jeanette, whatever, all of me. All of me, I'm involved. I don't divide my, I'm in it, 100% in it. Wholehearted, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly unto me. So God, I represent you, I'm a son. And therefore, God, whatever I'm eating, drinking, whatever, God, hurting, easy, hard, help, little, much, whatever, God, you're sufficient, and I'm going to look to you. So I'm going to do it with my whole heart, and I'm going to go and look to you, God, over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So we want to do so. So we live a normal life, school, work, home. That's what we do. We just do it differently. We have a relationship. We eat the same spaghetti. We do everything the same. It's just we're different. We're different. John chapter 8, picking up thought. As it, we said, verse 28, the Lord speaking. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then shall you know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. All His words, as we shared, all His words, all His works, He represented the Father. And, 29, and He that sent me, the Father, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, John 14, do I not, he said, when you receive me, I and my Father will come into you. My Father did not leave me alone. So when I say the Spirit of God says, Abba, Father, I'm saying God, Father. And I don't have to go 500 miles to find him. When I receive his Son, I receive the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's why you're saved. God's wonderful person. And he wonderfully saves you. Totally. Vouching for you. Your birth certificate. The certificate of your to authenticate your rightness with God before a world that's wrong is validated by God. And God continues to validate it if you receive the Son. Now, whether we pay attention carnally and fleshly and pay attention, that's a whole nother ball game. And the system at the end of the age, as any age, Israel or ours, of the tribulation, is not a great deal of looking for God to be God, not at all. Not at all. So God, here we are looking, and we understand as little children, you all were once little children, and in the children, that little children are, and they physically, they're there, and physically they enjoy being little children, and they are told, because they don't know, they are told that they have a father and mother, ultimately, and they understand they have a father and mother. They didn't understand that when they were born, but they did. They were told they have a father and mother. That's how they came into the world, by that. And in the process, they understand that. And you know what? If they're growing and it's reasonable, what does the little child cry out? Cry out when they're in need. Father! Dad! Father! Would you say that? My father! See? Here's a whole bunch of men. But there's my father! My father's there. Where is my father? When I receive the Son, I receive the Father. So God, you're crying in me. So God, the works, the will, the way, the words, from where? The Father. The Father. Father, I'm not out here. I'm in here. So when you are relating, praying without ceasing, looking for God to do a work in your heart, what are you doing? You're letting God exercise you, your relationship. When you exercise your relationship, praying, trusting, relying, looking for God's word and will and way. That's what we're looking for. And we're looking for that. And verse 29, again, the end of the verse. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things. I do them. So what do I do? Well, I'm eating or drinking, coming or going. I'm wholeheartedly looking to God. That's all. And God, you have to deal with me and help me and understand for us humans in a wonderful way so that we can be whosoever's that believe in a most wonderful way. Now, in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, so we need to keep a relationship. And our relationship needs to be exercised. And let me just touch on it. And over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, if you would. We're to exercise a relationship to God. And remember, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Okay. Now here, here's the first recorded word of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said something. Now, he said plenty, but now he's 12 years old, and now he speaks. He's speaking to the people, the Pharisees, leaders, Jewish leaders, and he's baffling them with all his knowledge. Verse 49, and I'll read verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In other words, we're looking all over for you, and here we are, we're finding you finally. Why couldn't you tell us where you were? And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? And if you sought me, wist not, did you not know? Understand, without taking it all apart for you now. I did know. You did know. For 12 years, you've known. You know that I have a father, and you want the father, Joseph. And my Mary mother, you know my father. My father is, you know him. You know I have honored my father for 12 years. And my father isn't you guys. Hang on. And thus, wist not, know not that I must be about my father's business. My father's wonderful, wonderful business. And what do you suppose, as my father sent me, so send I you. What is your business? You say, well, I'm a this and that. My business. I'm a prisoner. My vocation, for Ephesians 4:1. My vocation is God. God changed the whole reason I breathe, why I get out of bed, why I go to bed. God, the whole reason I'm here now, as a stranger, as a pilgrim, as a child, as a son, is to represent you. at work, home, school, play, whatever I do, to represent you in a world that needs a witness, a light to see in the dark, God. So now, here I am, here you are, Lord, about your Father's business, and that's what he did. And so you and I, what are we about? Our Father's business. Over in closing, if you would. I've got to close. I just tried to... Anyway, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, picking up, if I may, Luke. Did you go to Luke chapter 12? Do you like Luke? You do. Well, what we want is Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And picking up, please, he's going to say now, as you know, without getting into the context and all of that, verse 47. Remember, verse 46. While I yet talked with the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, just like he did in 12 years old, only now he isn't 12. He stood without, desiring to speak with him, and then said one unto him, behold, my mother and my brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Your brother and half brothers and sisters are there. And but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? That would have baffled him. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and behold, my mother and my brethren. He's in the room, and he put his hand and swung his hand like this. Here you all are. Here's my mother. Here's my brethren. Qualified. 4, verse 50. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, and mother. We're family. People do my will. What are we praying for? God's will in anything and everything. And God, well, that's all we want, God. We're looking for you to deal with our heads and our hearts. We've got we're living in a world, as we, you know, we're like going and having a giant global, global ship, the Titanic. A global Titanic headed to a cosmic iceberg, and no one's saying a thing. I could develop that. You understand that? The world. You've got a global Titanic carrying all of us on board, 7 billion of us, down. And there's a great big iceberg, a universal iceberg that you can't avoid. And we're going to crash. That's what the world's looking for. That's why you've got, we shared it on Sunday or whatever. That's why you have a repeat of the 60s now. The young people, the generation now, is caught. They don't know what the answer, and the thing is so frustrating. Did you remember in the 60s, 65? Did they ever care about and understanding Vietnam? No, they just had big drug dancing, jumping around, and drinking drugs, and indifference. Did they want to understand? No. Do you want to understand what's happening now? No. Do you understand? Now, we don't care about the iceberg because we're going. You see. And since you don't belong on the ship, the God is going to say, you guys can't participate in the tribulation, okay? You can't go through the tribulation. You might like to because you have your investments or you haven't finished your school. But I want you to know, if I come now, and I may, you can't go through it. Sorry. I can't have you go. It's the way it is. In fact, I have a replacement for you. They're called 144,000 Jews, among others. I'm going to replace you with Jewish people. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. Anyway, you may have a particular quest story as we go to prayer.